Hey there, everybody, and thank you for tuning to this special Liberty Dispatch interview. Our show is produced by the Liberty Coalition Canada in partnership with Christian Week. LCC exists to establish Christ's justice and righteousness and to defend those who stand. Christian Week exists to provide a practical, balanced, hope-filled perspective on national and global issues. If you would like to support the work we're doing on the podcast side of things, we would just ask that you would go over to our website, libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. You can just scan that helpful QR code at the bottom of the page as or the screen as well. And also, while you're over at the website, be sure to click on the analysis and shows box, and that will helpfully get you to submit all the donations through to Christian Week. Also, if you're sending cash or check, make sure to make it out to Christian Week as well. If you are an advertiser and you want to help support and join our team and help us help you build your business as you help us build this institution, please do not hesitate to reach out to us at advertising@christianweek.org. Send us an email today so you can partner with us in that. We are also on the Fight Laugh Feast Network, flfnetwork.com. Be sure to check us out there, and also check out the wonderful and super handy app that they have, the FLF Network app. You can get it at your Google Play or your Apple App Store, respectively. But we are really excited to get into the content today with our dear friend, Jacob Rayom.
Yeah, we're pleased to have with us on the show Jacob Rayom. He is the pastor of Trinity Bible Chapel in Waterloo. He's a friend of the show. You know who he is. I have the shirt on. Jacob, it is great to have you with us on Dispatch Interviews. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me here, guys.
So the last time we had you on, we discussed an article that you wrote for Christ Overall, in which you compared the Biologos statement to the Frankfurt Declaration, and we talked about that. And toward the end of our time, we began a discussion really being critical of and delving into Biologos statement and the organization itself. And so we wanted to have you back on again to discuss that specifically, the Biologos group, their mission, their statement on the jabs, and their influence on the church through key Christian leaders. Start off by watching a quick clip. I don't know if you've seen this, but this is right from the website where it describes the mission and the purpose of Biologos.
I think everyone who looks up at the night sky feels this sense of awe and wonder. And for me as a scientist, science only increases that sense of awe. And as a Christian, the wonder becomes worship because I know the person behind the universe, the creator of it all. But for many people in the world today, there's this divide between science and faith. They feel that science has somehow ruled out God, or that the church has rejected science. At Biologos, we are showing that the best science and biblical faith can work together, hand in hand. Not just a lack of conflict, but a beautiful harmony between the two.
When Biologos got started, there really was discussion about how you could put rigorous science, particularly about biology, which meant the science of evolution, together with serious dedication to the truths of Scripture.
One of the reasons I think Biologos is so important is because the polarization of faith and science makes faith so unbelievable. To remind us that these are not separated, especially the generation younger than us, I really think will save people and keep them on the faith journey.
So that last statement there made me just vomit a little bit inside of my mouth, just a little bit, having him create that disgusting straw man. But the broader issue here is there's a divide between faith and science, and Biologos wants to bridge the divide and help Christians understand that these are complementary, not in contradiction. So Jacob, as a pastor and as a father, because obviously we're concerned with what we teach our kids, how do you see this divide, this battle between faith and science playing out? How does it play out in the lives of Christians? And, you know, with that, how do you help people navigate the waters of the quote unquote faith versus science debate?
If science is defined as simply observing the way things are, I don't think there's any contradictions at all between faith and science. But my suspicion with Biologos is that their definition is much broader than that. And it's more than a suspicion. I certainly interacted with their material in the piece I did on the mandates and the Frankfurt Declaration. So I compared the Biologos statement with the Frankfurt Declaration. And in interacting with the Biologos statement, certainly their definition of science was broader than empirical science. It was a statement that even went to the point of ruling out dissent and calling dissent from their opinions on vaccines, or insinuating that dissent is some type of kooky conspiracy theory, and really was an attempt to syncretize Christianity with the worldview that was being propagated during the COVID era. And so we went through the COVID era. There was a worldview that was being propagated by those who are in power and those who are in the media that was contrary to the biblical worldview. And the Biologos statement was an attempt to syncretize them. Whereas the Frankfurt Declaration accurately anticipated. So knowing the little I do about Biologos, and the most I know about it is the statement in question about the mandates, I would say that their definition of science is inadequate, and it's a faulty definition. And so if you get a faulty definition, you're going to get these false dichotomies that they're perpetuating, and this is the dichotomy between faith and science. And if there is, if science is actually measuring the universe and reality for what it is, then there shouldn't be a dichotomy, because the same God that wrote the Bible created the world. He's not contradicting himself.
And I think that's such an important thing to add there, because I think the whole project of Biologos is answering a question that, biblically speaking, is not even the right question to ask in the first place. Yes, our modern secular, humanistic, naturalistic society has created this false dichotomy between faith and science, but does that even make sense from a biblical worldview? And I think they're trying to answer a question and answer an objection that is rooted in a false system of belief and a false understanding of who God is and how he's created things. So you end up with, unfortunately, and we've seen this throughout the history of the church, is when the church is primarily preoccupied with answering questions that are not necessarily biblical at root, they end up synthesizing the biblical worldview with the alien worldview. And we've seen that as the project of Biologos is trying to marry modern science and its supposed knowledge claims with biblical Christianity. So it really takes modern science and all of the claims that are out there that are, you know, in the mainstream as truth, and then it tries to blend that in with the biblical faith instead of realizing that there's a fundamental antithesis between what Scripture teaches about creation and what modern science actually just believes about science in and of itself. So I think that's very helpful to start off the discussion.
Let's get right into the website then. We'll just get rid of the website, and this is right from the What We Believe section. And Jacob, I want to get your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry, go first. No, go first.
No, I was going to say Francis Schaeffer talked about this a lot, mm-hmm. and I just finished reading through his works last year, and so I found him really helpful on this. And that is when nature and grace, so nature being the material world, science, I guess you could call it, mm-hmm. and grace being the heavenly world, are put in contradistinction. So you know, they're put in contrary to each other. Mm-hmm. Nature typically swallows grace. And so you lose the clear understanding of God and the clear message of God and the message of Bible when these two things happen. And that's what's happening in the modern scientific world right now. We're not even dealing with science anymore. We're dealing with a political agenda been infused into science, and they're really discrediting themselves. Mm-hmm. And you saw this in the vaccine mandate. You saw it in the COVID lockdowns, which came out in the Lagos statement. You see it in Darwinian evolution. And I think the most blatant in your face discrediting of science is in the transgender movement now, where now we're being told in the name of science to accept that boys can be boys or boys can be girls and girls can be boys. And if we don't accept that, people are going to kill themselves. And so this is a matter of life and death, right? We have to let boys castrate themselves. So I think something very weird is going on in their definition of science, and in their definition of science, they're swallowing special revelation and anyone that would advocate for this level of, it's not science, it's scientism, which is what the Frankfurt mm-hmm. Declaration accurately names it.
Well, and our friend Aaron Rock is fond of saying that they're not doing actual science, it's political science, right? He has said that many times before on his podcast. So let's
look at they wrote a paycheck and they found some guy with some degrees and gave him some glasses and made him feel smart and said, hey, make this look sciencey. And so that's what he does.
Science.
Classic communist science move. Classic communist move. Find someone that has no integrity, give them a real fancy degree, a set of glasses, and tell them to make what you say look smart.
Yep. To sell it to the otherwise undiscerning masses.
Mm-hmm. Like Sankoism.
That's right. With the experts.
Yeah.
So from their website, this is from their What We Believe section. And so they start off by at least making overtures to biblical Christianity, right? Human beings have fallen in sin. You know, we believe in one God, having created the universe. But then we get around point eight, it starts to get a little weird. So this is from their website. Bios invites the church and the world to see the harmony between science and biblical faith as we present an evolutionary understanding of God's creation. We believe that God created the universe, the earth, and all life over billions of years. We believe that the diversity and interrelation of all life on earth are explained by the God-ordained process of evolution with common descent. Evolution is not in opposition to God, but a means by which God providentially achieves his purposes. We reject ideologies that claim that evolution is a purposeless process or that evolution replaces God. So how would you respond to these statements, and what effect do you believe that this kind of thinking has on Christians and the church more broadly?
So I think there's two stand out to me from what you've just read. And one is, we believe the world is billions of years old. And then two is, we believe in evolution. So I think those were the two that jumped out at me. And again, this is where science is now moving into the realm of theory and speculation and not actually being material observational science. And of course, those two statements contradict the natural reading of God's word. So if you read God's word and you start adding up the genealogies, even if you compensate and say, well, maybe the Bible's missing a few generations here and there because that's the way they kept track of things, the world is going to be about 6,000-7,000 years old. And if you look at the Bible and you see, well, there's, you know, God created man and then he created a woman from man, and there was all these differences, and each after its own kind in the Garden of Eden, you might be able to say that there's evolutionary adaptations within species. That certainly is the case. But I don't think you're certainly not going to be able to say that there's evolution between species. So, you know, jellyfish don't all of a sudden over billions and billions of years become, and so their view of creation is deficient. It's unbiblical. And any attempt to bring those two views, the biblical view and the evolutionary worldview, together is not an attempt to be faithful to God. It's an attempt to synthesize Christianity with basically another religion.
It also gives you a very warped doctrine of sin, right? Like this, I think that we can't get into the actual mechanics of it, because I think that there is sufficient evidence to thoroughly debunk Darwinian evolution, period. I think that it is unscientific in many ways. We can't get into that, but simply for Christians to think biblically, the two greatest pieces of evidence in opposition to any kind of evolutionary belief would be, one, the fact that both Moses and Jesus affirm a seven-day creation, which would have been unnecessary. And for everyone who would say, well, at the time it was written, right, Genesis is written, 1500 BC, they couldn't conceive of this process. That doesn't apply of Jesus on the earth, because you can clearly see the Greek philosophers are thinking in deep ways. So both Moses and Jesus affirm a seven-day creation. And if you can explain millions of years of animals and creatures dying before Adam and Eve sin in the garden, before sin enters through humans, you have a completely distorted doctrine of sin. And so those two alone should make Christians throw it out, period. Well, Andrew, it's punk.
I also want to point out, and here's where I think what Jacob's saying is, these are two competing religious worldview claims, is really, really important, right? The Bible clearly teaches a supernatural worldview, that God is the author of creation and he acts in creation. And it all obviously teaches that he acts in creation in catastrophic ways, right? In the first 11 chapters of Genesis, we see God acting in creation time and time again, that is significantly changing the course of human events, right? So the two basic presuppositions of modern science are naturalism and uniformitarianism. So at root, the two presuppositions, the two faith commitments that modern science makes that are totally antithetical with the Christian worldview are uncritically adopted by the Biologos crew, right? They're thinking that these presuppositions, along with the claims of evolutionary science, these are normative for them. And now they've got to figure out how to, since they're taking those as the norm, as the standard, they have to figure out how to make scripture mold to their scientific so-called presuppositions. And that's the danger in creating that synthesis between the two, because you get something that is neither modern science in its claims or biblical Christianity. You get this oddball synthesis that is
so dangerous. Jacob, what does this do then? What does this do to Christian thinking and churches, the adopting of this and saying, oh yeah, this is a viable position? What does this do to the church or Christian thinking?
It weakens our view of scripture. So if scripture teaches us that God made man and woman as distinct, and God made each animal after their own kind, and then all of a sudden now we're supposed to read Darwinian evolution into the original count of creation, and then now we're supposed to read billions and billions of years into the overall narrative of scripture. Well, that's nowhere to be found in scripture. So we have a competing story of origins in Darwinian evolution, a view that competes with scripture. And instead of saying, well, this is what scripture clearly teaches, which it does, 6 days of creation, each animal made after its own kind, man and woman made distinct. And then saying this is against what Darwinian evolution says. Now what we're trying to do in order to be acceptable and score points, I guess, with the academic community, the intellectual elites, is we're trying to synthesize it. So, hey, look, scripture isn't so dumb after all. You actually can read evolution into the text. And we've all heard this stuff before, and it's been going on for a dog's age. So, who knows what the scientific fad is 50 years from now that we're going to have to reconcile with scripture that we didn't know before. And now shows us that we've been reading this very basic element of scripture wrong for years, when it is clear in scripture that the scripture does contradict Darwinian evolution, but somehow we're supposed to reconcile the two because all of a sudden scripture is not so clear. So if it does one thing, Andrew, it weakens our belief and our understanding of scripture. It weakens our doctrine of perspicuity, our belief that the common man can even understand scripture on his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I think that's, again, so important to understand when you're talking about compromising for the sake of winning favor in the culture. I've actually heard that be the reason that people who subscribe to Biologos, who are fans of the ministry, they say, this isn't the fight that we ought to be having, right? You know, think of that college student who's going into biology. You know, is this really the line that we want to draw in the sand? Is this the hill that we want to die on?
Oh, man, Jacob. Have you heard that before? You heard those statements before?
Exactly. And then are we surprised that this group is creating the statement that they did concerning COVID-19? Absolutely not, right?
Well, when someone first told me about the Biologos statement on the pandemic, I said, Biologos, that name sounds familiar. Isn't that organization been wholly discredited because of their view on evolutionary biology, Darwinian evolution? Is that the same organization? And the guy was like, that's it. I'm like, so why are we even paying attention to them? Mm. They're already heretical.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get into this.
These people are not serious Christians. They're not even Christians if they believe in Darwinian evolution.
Mm-hmm. Well, so this is one of the, they've done such a good job at receiving endorsements from fairly prominent evangelical figures. So I want to set this up because we're going to name some of these guys and we're going to talk about, you know, the real implications for the Christian life. But in their statement, right, love your neighbor, get the shot, a Christian statement on signs for pandemic times. This is how they concluded. Because of our faith in Jesus, we will wear masks in indoor public spaces and follow other physical distancing rules given by public officials. We will get vaccinated against COVID-19 when you are eligible to receive one of the safe and effective vaccines. That's nonsense and as directed by a physician. We will correct misinformation and conspiracy theories when we encounter them on our social media and communities. You already mentioned that, Jacob, this weird sense of the party punishing thought crime. And then last, we will work for justice for communities, there's the Marxism, who have suffered the most deaths from COVID-19. And here are some of the guys. Okay, we want to talk about the endorsements, the people who support and approve of Biologos and canon in the U.S. This is just a small list. We have names like Francis Collins, who's the founder of Biologos, Tim Keller, the recently deceased Tim Keller, Philip Yancey, N.T. Wright, Scott McKnight, Walter Kim, who's a president of the National Association of Evangelicals, David French, who his circuit board exploded when Donald Trump became president, Timothy Dalrymple, who's the president of Christianity Yesterday, Phil Vischer, the woke VeggieTales guy, just to name a few. Now, I want to play a video from Megan Basham. She's a writer for the Daily Wire. She's done some great work. She has a lengthy article on this topic of how it is that the federal government and the scientific health establishment basically hoard out evangelical leaders in order to push its statist agenda.
And we will link that description in the comments below. So if you want to link that article in the comments below, if you want to check that out. It's really important to read. And it's important to realize Francis Collins, the head of Biologos, was the head of the COVID response, right? In case we haven't made that clear already. Here's the video from Megan.
You can summarize the whole Bible in two sentences. Love God and love your neighbors yourself. That's it. It's all about love. And right now, the most practical way I can show love for my neighbor is wear a mask.
The federal government used evangelical leaders to spread COVID propaganda. On February 17th, the Biden administration officially named former National Institutes of Health director Francis Collins as the nation's new top science advisor. The appointment came despite the fact that Collins has been under fire since leaked emails suggested he and Anthony Fauci colluded to suppress evidence that COVID originated in a Wuhan lab. It's an issue still undergoing lots of research and debate in the scientific community. Yet in one of the emails, Collins suggests using media connections to try to discredit other medical experts who believe the virus may not have developed naturally. In another, he asks Fauci about news coverage of the lab leak theory and wonders if there's a way to use the media to, quote, help put down this very destructive conspiracy. But Collins and Fauci didn't just rely on the mainstream media to get their messages out to the public. There's also evidence that Collins specifically into his friendships with numerous high-profile pastors and church leaders to further spread the government's COVID narratives. These weren't just messages about getting vaccinated, but also arguing for government vaccine mandates. Collins also used the platforms of his church leader friends to urge pastors to teach their congregations that if they wanted to obey Jesus' command to love their neighbors, then they must comply with government mandates on keeping churches and businesses closed and keeping children masked. This is the story of how the Biden administration's new top science advisor, Francis Collins, used evangelical leaders to spread the government's COVID messaging to Christians.
Shameful.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's and in her article, she has plenty of receipts. The emails are damning between Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci. So, Jacob, again, as someone who serves an elder at a church who is tasked with the spiritual care and well-being of the people whom you under-shepherd, what are your thoughts on pastors, evangelical leaders who, you know, they support the BioLogos statement, right? They support the organization in general, but even more so than that, as we've seen, that they essentially become the propaganda arm for the state and for the health establishment, pushing people to bow to these mandates and essentially pushing people to offer a pinch of incense upon the altar of the state in order to, quote unquote, love their neighbor. What do you think about all that?
Why would they want to get involved with an organization like BioLogos in the first place, knowing how discredited it is? Like, this is an organization, as far as I know, you've just said, that pushes for Darwinian, you know, synthesizing Darwinian evolutionary theory with the Bible. And so I would take one look at that and say, why would I even pay attention to that as a pastor? And so something that is the most basic question that needs to be asked. If these men are willing to ascribe to a statement like this written by an organization like BioLogos, why would you associate with that? That's not even, and it's not just that they're associating with a discredited organization. They're dissociating, or they're associating with a discredited organization that has attempted to wed its false teachings with Christianity. So it's saying that it's Christian, but yet is in the guise of Christianity propagating false teachers or teachings even before the COVID-19 crisis. So I don't know why you'd want to be part of that. Why? It doesn't make sense. Why? What are you gaining? How are you benefiting people? Why are you muddying the water? Why are you wanting to live in the obscure on issues that are so damning? Mm-hmm. These aren't small issues. Darwinian evolution is not a small issue. It's major. And I don't understand. Why? Why? Please tell me why. I don't know.
The sad part, Jacob, is we saw men like Tim Keller, who many have high regard for, especially in Reformed circles. He lent his credibility to BioLogos long before COVID-19, but yet he's alongside men like Peter Enns, who he's a heretic. He's an apostate. He's an unbeliever. And those are the type of guys that BioLogos is partnering with on these platforms. Is that not just a fundamental betrayal of the basic principle that, you know, Christians ought not to be unequally yoked to unbelievers in these types of endeavors? I think it's just, yeah, it's bewildering, as you say, but, you know, I suppose if that is the nature of the relationship in its origins, why should we be surprised that the rotten fruit of that rotten root leads us to a statement that tells Christians if they want to obey God and love their neighbor, they have to get the COVID vaccine shots. They have to wear the masks, and they ultimately have to submit to medical tyranny and statist scientism. That is what they're calling for, and it is shameful and sadly not surprising in our day and age, I suppose.
Well, you noted that Tim Keller was part of the BioLogos before the COVID-19 issues, mm-hmm. and I didn't know that. I know very little about Keller. I think I read one of his books once, and mm-hmm. I thought that The Reason for God was a decent book that I handed out to people. Maybe in hindsight, I shouldn't have. I don't know. I can't remember.
I read it and liked maybe it.
Okay. Well, yeah. I listened to maybe two of his sermons in my life, and mm-hmm. and so I haven't really paid much attention to his ministry. I knew he was in New York and so on, and he was propagating social justice to some degree. But anyway, mm-hmm. if he was involved with BioLogos even prior to the COVID-19 crisis, then that doesn't look very good on his record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Keller has been a longtime proponent of a Christian theistic evolution perspective. That's nothing new for him, and so we fit right along with BioLogos.
But the sad part, Andrew, is he's not alone in that. Like, there's plenty of men yeah. who are supposedly conservative Christian reformed teachers who believe in some sort of millions of years evolutionary theory. You know, that it's shocking. It is truly shocking how many men in prominent positions in the evangelical world have just totally bought into that different view of origins, like Jacob is saying, hook, line, and sinker, and they're willing to compromise the sufficiency of Scripture in order to be thought of as respectable in our day and age. And it's shameful.
Well, there's two different issues, at least theologically. One is the origins. Writing in evolution on a macro scale, Darwinian evolution, which is blatant heresy. Like, if I don't know to what degree these men believe that. My understanding is BioLogos has somehow wedded itself to a variation of that view. And then the other issue, so that's the first issue. Then the other issue is the age of the earth, which is an error. Okay, it's not as big of an error, but it is an error. It doesn't affect our theology as much or understanding of the gospel. But it does affect our ability to read scripture is reliable. And so if you're compromising on the age of the earth, that to me is not as big of an issue. It's not huge. But if you're compromising on certainly the origins of creation and the origins of humanity and the origins of species, as Darwin titled his book, then that is not Christianity, and you shouldn't even be recognized as a Christian.
Well, Matt, I'm glad you brought up the sufficiency of Scripture. and the reason is, I think that thinking about particular men, particular organizations, which I think have played their hand, that do not hold to the Scripture as we believe they ought, who have basically tattooed Romans 13 on their forehead for the world to see how good they've been. Let's get a little domestic here, and let's think about friends of ours here in Canada. So when you go through this signatory list, it's interesting. I mean, right away you have the names I mentioned already. These are the more prominent American evangelical figures who support the statement. But there are several names on the signatory list that we'll be more familiar with here in Canada. So one of those names is Paul Carter. He's a pastor in Aurelia. He's a contributor to the Gospel Coalition Canada. We've mentioned him a few times on our show. It's worth noting that he not only signed the list, but and if anyone wants to go like follow him on Twitter, you may be blocked. Half of you might be blocked. You don't even know about it. But shortly after receiving his second dose of the gene therapy injection, he tweeted, and I'm not making this up, he tweeted, double vaxxed and ready for snacks. That's what he said on his Twitter, which is just as disgusting as Russell Moore with a double mask on in his car saying this hobbit just got his second shot. So That's Paul Carter, double vaxxed and ready for snacks. That's on his Twitter. And then I think he blocked me for the first time shortly after that. So he's on the list. And then you have Stan Fowler. He's professor emeritus of theological studies at Heritage Seminary, which has been in pretty strong opposition to the nonconformists, and in particular, guys like yourself, Jacob, or someone like Aaron Rock, or even Tony Costa, who's at the Mill Christian Fellowship with Steve Bainbridge. He posted a video of him and his wife after their second shot, the day of, with the Band-Aids, the Virtue Signal Band-Aids on the arm. And then exactly 14 days later, he suffered a stroke, and he's still basically in pretty rough shape after. And so this is almost 2 years after the fact. And so these are prominent Canadian evangelical men with platforms, with followings. So we bring that up because that touches much closer to home, because these men, alongside other men in Canada, like the signers of the Biologos statement, have been some of the most staunch supporters of obedience to the state, of the jabs and the masks and all that sort of stuff. And so the question for you, Jacob, is how do we reconcile these men who support Biologos, these men who support this and say that they're reformed evangelical, but at the same time, here they are affirming an organization and being proponents of evolution and statism?
Well, are they proponents of evolution? I don't know.
Well, these two men, I would say probably not evolution, but I bring that up that that's the organization. So if they are supporting an organization, in favor of an organization that supports evolution and also statism, which these men support. So that's right. We want to clarify that. We're not saying they hold to an evolutionary position, but here they are supporting an organization that does.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't, they shouldn't be associated with an organization like that. It's unchristian. I mean, it's an apostate organization. So they've put their names on a letter that was written by an apostate organization that encouraged behavior in the name of God, in the name of Christ. And that was wrong. They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't be associated with that organization. And then beyond that, they put their names on a piece of paper and ascribe to a syncretistic belief, a synthesized the predominant way of the world during the COVID times with the scriptures. Is, you know, it's like the scriptures were suspended for this 2-year period, and we were permitted to synthesize Christian teaching with worldliness, the spirit of the age, for this particular season, and ascribe to that. And it's, you know, it's sad. It's sad what's happened to Stan Fowler. He was one of the, certainly locally, he was my professor when I was in Bible college. And locally, he has a lot of prominence in evangelical Baptist circles, and he was more outspoken than anyone against our church. And we were at the height of our troubles with the government. And anytime they put a microphone in front of his face, he was on CTV, he was on the local talk radio station 570 over and again. He mentioned he called us out from the pulpit in a sermon he preached at Crestwood Baptist Church. And so over and over and again, Stan Fowler was speaking against us, and it's sad what's happened to his health. But you did note that, you know, it's been spoken of in, I guess, quietly, hushed, but it has been spoken of even from people in his church that he did have a stroke, very, very serious stroke that's left him incapacitated within a couple of weeks of him getting his last dose of the vaccine. And so, and there is a relationship between strokes and the vaccine. We're seeing that that's coming out now, and the evidence on that is becoming clear. And so that should probably be something that people consider, whether the vaccine caused a stroke or not. God knows, but certainly there is a, if you want to talk science, there is scientific, you know, papers demonstrating that there's a relationship between those two things, strokes and vaccines. So sad for how he is now. One of the things about Fowler, Dr. Fowler, Stan Fowler, is that he kept saying that his day, he said this publicly, that this is not the stand of civil disobedience that he wants to take. His stand for civil disobedience will come at another time. And that time is down yonder when he has to take a stand for gender and sexuality issues. But this is not it. And in saying that, he presumed upon tomorrow. And James tells us we're not supposed to do that. The Apostle James says we shouldn't say we will do something tomorrow because we don't know if we have tomorrow. And so it seems that one of Dr. Fowler's last vocal stands was the stand that he took against our church when our church was meeting in defiance of the COVID lockdown mandates. And he didn't know that would be the case. He's still living, but he's not able to communicate very well anymore. And that's sad. I hope he recovers, but it's a tragic story. I guess you could put it that way. It's a tragic story.
So, Jacob, in your article, when you compared the two statements, the Frankfurt Declaration and the Biologos statement, it struck me when I was reading through the statement, just the sheer lack of really any in-depth theological work that's being done, or even just the references to scientific data. Like, it's basically void of like theological or scientific depth, and it still makes some wide sweeping statements, right? To love, it's literally called love your neighbor, get the shot. And then it goes on to say that we have to be worried about matters of social justice, that we have to be actively correcting as Christians supposed misinformation, and that we have to wear masks. Is it true? Like, biblically, can you make the case that if we're going to love our neighbor, we have to get the experimental gene therapy for COVID? Or is that just totally out of bounds and unscriptural?
They're adding to God's word. Mm-hmm. Right? And they're adding to God's word. And they're saying so in the name of Christ as ministers of the gospel. So, you know, there's actually curses in the Bible associated with people that add to God's word. And that's what they've done.
Yeah.
They've said that we love our neighbors, not by visiting them when they're lonely, not by showing hospitality to them. In fact, you shouldn't do those things, and the government tells you not to because of a pandemic. But what you should do is tell your neighbor to put a mask on their face and get an injection in their arm. And don't go to church, by the way. So they added to God's word. And there are curses associated with people that do that over and again in Scripture.
Mm-hmm. So, Jacob, we know you have to run. Can we ask one more question just to maybe whet the appetite for the next time we have you on, for the next time they shut down all the churches? So I don't know about your office. I didn't see one when we were there, but I would invite you, at least symbolically, and our audience to just put on our jewel-encrusted tinfoil crowns just for a moment. And I will make the assertion that I believe that essentially what happened or what was taken advantage of during the COVID era was basically the beta test or the precursor to something even worse in terms of statism, in terms of oppression, just a greater heavy-handedness from our elites. Now, I believe that play is going to be climate alarmism in general. So Biologos doesn't disappoint. This is from their article titled "Why the 2023 UN Climate Report Matters to Christians." Quote, "The climate is changing faster than we are adapting to it. The cause is principally emissions of greenhouse gases, mostly through burning fuels, but also due to industrial agriculture, deforestation, and other causes. We're in a rapidly closing window to cut emissions and keep our only habitable home safe and livable for all. What's needed is no less than the transfiguration of human society." Wow, what a word to use. Unbelievable.
I like to put that word trans in front of things.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking about the good transfiguration. Here they're saying we need a second one. So rapid and far-reaching transitions across all sectors and systems are necessary to achieve deep and sustained emissions reductions and secure a livable and sustainable future for all. Close quote. That is not from the WEF. That is from Biologos. So according to Biologos, What does this mean for the church? Here's our conclusion. We have to face the crisis. We have to preach and teach, clearly environmental Marxism. We have to reduce our emissions. We have to do justice and prepare for community care. So, Jacob, as much as you want, covered in our tinfoil gowns, how do you believe that the church and Christians need to be at this point thinking about and ready to respond to the climate cult and climate alarmism? Maybe give us some kind of high level. Christians need to be thinking about these things or preparing these ways for this climate cult push that's being thrust upon the greater society.
There's only one stand in the face of the beast, and that is with spiritual power. So you're not going to be able to lay down your assets. You're not going to be able to lay down your reputation. You're not going to be able to lay down your life in the face of the beast without power from on high. And those who compromise during the COVID times are going to be lacking in spiritual power unless they repent for what they did. And so the first thing that they need to do, all of us need to do, is repent before God for our sins. Those sins, I can name them for those who are our opponents in this. And that would be their syncretistic approach to COVID-19, where they attempt to synthesize scripture with government mandates and the spirit of the age. And they need to repent for that and do so publicly. And God will honor that, and God will be very gracious, and he will forgive people, and that's why the Lord Jesus died. So I think there has to be a spiritual preparation, a searching of our own hearts. For those of us who had a measure of faithfulness during the season that we have come through, we can thank God that it's over. But we need not get carried away with ourselves, and we should make much of Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus has warned, you don't want to lose your first love. And so we don't want to become all caught up with our past victories and our past triumphs and our past glories. We're thankful for the measure of faithfulness that God gave us during that season. But that came from him, and that was a spiritual power that was from on high. And we don't want to become callous and, I guess, corrosive towards those who are our opponents. We don't want to become bitter and hardened towards them. I have hearts like children, as Jesus taught us to have. And so, we can mentally prepare ourselves by understanding sphere sovereignty and understanding the proper scriptural teachings on the relationship between church and state and the role of the state and the role of the law of God in society. And these are all important things, but nothing is going to compensate lack of spiritual devotion to Jesus Christ and a hot heart for him and hearts that have the faith of a child. There can be all kinds of academic gymnastics and footnotes that can excuse good behavior or excuse bad behavior. And I think that's what happened during COVID. There were some very, very smart people, very competent people, very capable people, very, very badly. And I suspect the reason they did was because they were relying too much on the arm of the flesh and they weren't relying on the Spirit of God. And so we must be a people who are focused on the loveliness, on the goodness, on the how wonderful and worthy Jesus Christ is. And if we are that, then the rest will take care of itself. We will defend his honor. We will stand for his honor. And we will count the world and our very own lives as loss. And this is my concern with the freedom movement, is that it not become, and in some sectors it is, because the people are not Christians and they need to repent, put their faith in Christ. But within the Christian circles, like you and me, that we not become about freedom, government tyranny, primarily. That is a wonderful blessing that comes from on high. But our greatest freedom, whether the government gives us freedom or not, is in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so he should be our greatest delight. And as we learn to delight in him, faithfulness by his grace and his kindness towards us should follow.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Rayom, for being on the program. We do appreciate you coming on and talking about these really, really important issues and how these spiritual issues really, you know, work their way out in culture, in application, in everyday lives. So where can people go to get more stuff, writings, sermons, lectures from you if they're interested in hearing more from you?
They can go to trinitybiblechapel.ca. That's our church website. I have my blog on there. All the sermons are on there. And then we've just, as you know, Andrew's sporting the t-shirt. We have a documentary that we've released called Antichrist and His Ruin, The Church at War. And I want to encourage your listeners to go to our documentary website, antichristdocumentary.com, and buy the DVD.
We Jacob. Bind their conscience. Tell them they must. Tell them it is your
love
strongest
your neighbor.
Pastoral,
buy the-
it's your strongest pastoral recommendation that they do. We'll
love,
allow it.
Love your pastor. Wouldn't it be wonderful if 10 people in Paul Carter's church listened to this and bought him the DVD? I mean, no, but seriously, buy the DVD as a gift. People won't necessarily watch the file you send them on the internet, but maybe they'll watch the DVD or they'll store it, watch it 2 years from now. So buy the DVD, antichristdocumentary.com. We'll have it shipped to you. And give it to somebody that you love who's kind of uncertain about things or even on the other side. And let them listen to it. Let them watch it and see what they say. Antichristdocumentary.com.
So, yes, go get it. So in summary, find elders that are taking bold stands for Christ and are willing to repent when they get it wrong. Churches that take seriously Christian community and fellowship and the teaching of the Word of God. Don't rest on past successes, but continue to be faithful. There you go. And continue to preach the gospel and understand that the most important freedom is the one that we have in Christ, to which we invite other people as well to be made alive from sin and death and to find life and freedom in Christ. Jacob, I think that's a very good here's how to prepare for the days ahead, regardless of what comes down. I think there's much that can be taken from that. So thank you, as always, for joining us on The Dispatch.
And it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Till next time.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.
Friends, we're posting new content multiple times every week throughout our various shows on this channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to it and hit that notification bell. That way you stay up to date with everything that we're releasing here with the Liberty Coalition Canada.